At the outset, let me confess that the title of the sermon, The Handmaid's Tale, is kind of a misnomer. Out of an attempt to be cute, because of the popularity of Margaret Atwood's novel, The Handmaid's Tale, I have used the term that appears in the King James Version and the American Standard Version, that is the word handmaid to describe Hagar. Robert Alter, who is a translator of the complete Hebrew Bible and an emeritus professor of Hebrew and comparative literature at University of California at Berkeley, says this, that the Hebrew word shifha is more appropriately translated slave girl, and that, quote, the tradition of English versions that render this a maid or handmaiden imposes a misleading sense of European gentility on the sociology of the story. The point is that Hagar belongs to Sarai as property, and the ensuing complications of their relationship build on that fundamental fact. End quote. So now that we've noted the difference in status between Hagar and Sarai, that is, Sarai is the owner of Hagar, the slave, it's remarkable to note that the promise of God that is made to Hagar is very similar to the promise that God made to Abraham. God promises to make Hagar's son a great nation, just like God promised to make Abraham's other son, Isaac, a great nation. These two nations form two ethnic groups known as Jews and as Arabs. 10 years ago, after a trip to the Holy Land, I preached a sermon based partly on the scripture about Naboth's vineyard and the punishment of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, which I alluded to last week. Sadly, the conditions in Israel that I mentioned in that sermon have only gotten worse with Israel's actions in Gaza and Lebanon. Today, I want to share some of what I said in that sermon over 10 years ago. The passage tells of the greed of Ahab in a story reminiscent of the story of David and Bathsheba. The king, in this case through his queen Jezebel, causes the death of Naboth to get what he wants. The king is not satisfied with all he has. He covets the vineyard of Naboth. God, through Elijah, takes a dim view of this behavior, and both Jezebel and Ahab are punished. Now, it's important to note that Jezebel and Ahab were the government of Israel at the time. Unfortunately, it is impossible not to draw the parallel between this passage and what is going on in Israel today. God has blessed the Israelis by returning them to their ancestral home. Instead of being satisfied with what they've been given, they are seizing the ancestral homeland of those around them. Many of those who are losing their land are not Muslims, are not terrorists, but are Christian descendants of people to whom Jesus preached. Indeed, the term Palestinian Christian is not an inconsistent statement. I first learned that Palestinian Christian is not an oxymoron when I read Elias Shakur's book, Blood Brothers. I had the great joy of meeting Elias Shakur during my 2014 trip to Israel. Elias Shakur, who as of 2026 has retired as the Archbishop of Akko, Haifa, Nazareth and all Galilee of the Melkite Greek Christian Catholic Church. As the title of his book intimates, and as he reiterated to us when we spoke to him, he does not hate the Israelis and does not encourage hate. In fact, he told us this, quote, "If being a friend to the Palestinian means you hate Israel, I don't want your friendship," end quote. This loving and peaceful man told us the story of his desire to build a school for children that would reach out to both Arabs and Israelis. Because the school was to be built in the West Bank area of Israeli occupation, it required Israeli military approval. This kind and gentle Christian man, Abuna Elias Shakur, could not get approval for his school. In fact, any building he tried to build, the Israelis would threaten to bulldoze and send him the bill for the bulldozer. In desperation, he purchased a plane ticket for Washington, D.C., and showed up at the kitchen door of James and Susan Baker, who did not know him from Adam. Susan Baker was about to hold a Bible study for a group of about 20 women. After figuring out who Abuna Shakur was, she invited him in to lead the Bible study. This began a long and personal friendship with the Bakers, which finally resulted in a United States Secretary of State, James Baker, a Texan, asking Israel for a personal favor, the issuance of a building permit for that school. It was only as a result of this favor that the school ultimately got its building permit. This is an example of what we observed in Israel, and the parallel to Naboth's vineyard is inescapable. By doing such things as refusing building permits, the Jews are making it difficult to impossible for non-Jews to live normal lives. The effect is that many non-Jews have moved, leaving their land. The Israelis have passed laws that say if you leave and don't return within 2 years, the land belongs to the state. They seize land which has belonged to Palestinians, many of them peaceful Christians. Much of this land is outside the area placed under Israeli authority by the United Nations. The justification in many instances is security concerns. But many of these security concerns are no more justifiable than the testimony against Naboth. One shocking statistic we learned while we were there in Israel is that the Christian population in Israel at the time of the formation of Israel was 20%. The Christian population in 2014 was approximately 1%. A Google search today estimates the current population of Christians in Israel as 184,200, which is approximately 1.9% of the total population of Israel, a little north of 9 million people. As Elias Shakur said, Israelis and Arabs are blood brothers. Christians and Jews both trace their heritage back to Father Abraham. Jews through Abraham's wife, Sarah, and Arabs, some of whom are Christians, through Sarah's handmaid, Hagar. There is room for brothers to get along. Jesus preached a message of love and reconciliation. May we as Christians pray for peace in Israel, in Gaza, in Iran, in Ukraine, in Russia, in Sudan, and in all the world. Amen.